here from JeanShawInterviews.com, and today I have the pleasure of chatting to Chris Reed, who is the president and co-founder of the 7-Minute Workout. I've never met this gentleman in person, but I've watched him demonstrate various muscle building and strengthening exercises, as well as listen to his live and recorded webinars, so I do feel as though I know him quite well. And that's important, because the 7-Minute Workout is a health and fitness lifestyle program which has the potential to change people's lives in more ways than one. So it's vital you can trust the people who run it. The other co-founder is Jill Terrien, whom I've interviewed on two previous occasions, and I have to admit, had I not personally met him, I may never have been inspired to check out the 7-Minute Workout. And that's because it makes an incredibly bold statement, which is, you can get into the best shape of your life just exercising 7 minutes a day, 3 times a week. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds too good to be true. So today I'm hoping Chris will be able to explain why it's not just wishful thinking, but is in fact backed by scientific evidence. So Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Jean.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. So I have basically covered what the 7-Minute Workout is, which is a health and fitness exercise program where you can get into the best shape of your life just exercising 7 minutes a day, 3 times a week. And that is a really, really bold statement. So,
sure.
So how did you and Joel come up with it? I mean, it's obviously not a new idea, is it? Is it something you've been formulating for years, because you've been friends since you were children, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been friends since we were 5 years old. We were actually literally in the same kindergarten class at 5 years old. And we always liked exercise. But the thing is that we did a lot of different competitive sports as we got older. But once we hit adolescent, 13, 12, 13, 14, Joel really started focusing on bodybuilding as a sport. So that was a unique shift in terms of, we were starting to use weight training and resistance training and different methods like that, even at the age of 11 and 12, to try to get better at different sports that we were doing. But when his sport suddenly became the creation and maintenance of high quality muscle and healthy muscle, he really, really, really got down into the nitty-gritty of what makes people grow. And what it turned out is that really it's recovery that makes people grow. And it's like having an operation. I mean, was it the operation that was the key? I mean, certainly it was the stimulus, but in terms of the entire procedure from start of the operation till fully recovered, in most cases, the operation's a few hours, where recovery is several months. So we have to realize our bodies can quickly be broken down through exercise. And once that breakdown is achieved, the key component is allowing the body to recover and not to make it overtrain, which is a lot of times you look at different sports and you look at the build and the physiques on the higher endurance athletes. And it seems like the more endurance required, which means the more sort of high endurance training is required, the kind of skinnier most of the athletes become. You think of a running back in football, American football, for example, when they're doing these incredibly powerful bursts of energy, and it's only for a few seconds. And then you look at the physique on these people. I mean, they are not immobile. They are absolutely mobile, but these are unbelievably well-built, muscular, powerful people and very, very lean body mass. And we started to realize there was a direct correlation as well between the amount of muscle mass you have and the amount of body fat you have. And I mean, I'm kind of rambling on with the one starting question, but really it started, the stimulus became, what gives you the best return for muscle growth and why is it so important to have muscle? And that's kind of, those questions are basically what form our foundation of our program.
So did Joel share this knowledge with you when you were at college together, because you shared a dorm?
Oh, yeah.
Or something, didn't you? And so you took that information on when you left college, because you went to do Taekwondo, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've both been doing Taekwondo. We both started at 11 years old, and we both already started doing exercises and weight training and things like that. And right around the age where he started on the bodybuilding, in the 12 or 13 years old, I started really as young as that competing nationally in Taekwondo. I was, our regional teams, our provincial teams, our national championships, and I was doing all that sort of thing. And what eventually happened is that I was trying to get to the weight room, and I was aware of what Joel was doing now and how he was saying, look, we're only going to do this amount of workout. And it's true. I mean, it wasn't the time that sometimes made me skip some of our weight training routines at that time. It was just that, you know, let's say if I did a 7-minute workout on my chest and triceps when I did that routine, and then I went to taekwondo class and I was in a class where it was the old school training where my instructor would say, no, you have to do 100 push-ups now, and then in 5 minutes we're going to do another 50, and then in half an hour we're going to do another 100, and the less you can do, the more you had to do, or, you know, and then you get kicked and punched around a little bit if you didn't do enough. I mean, it was that type of mentality back then in martial arts, and where at least where I was training. So I started saying, no, I can't do my weight training exercises because I got to go and perform a taekwondo class. And so I kind of steered away from it for a while in our teens. And then as I left university, I got serious about my competing and more in charge of what I was doing. And that's when I got back with Joel, and he had it down to an absolute science by that time. And he had been having like just phenomenal results as a bodybuilder. Like, I mean, he was achieving the sort of results that people were seeing in professional competitions where he was actually in natural tested competitions. He was just that sort of muscularity. And I jumped right back into the workouts. But even still, my muscular gains were always stopped by or undermined by my then going to the taekwondo school and training for 2 hours of kicking, because I had to do so many repetitive kicks to learn the movement that I wasn't allowing myself enough time to recover. And I mean, you could just see it in our physiques. Even now, I mean, Joel maintains much more body muscle mass than I do. But I'm going to try and catch up, and I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm. But you actually became a world champion yourself, didn't you, in Taekwondo? Yeah. So at that point, were you not just following Joel's kind of exercise routine, or by then had you sort of told your instructors, look, you know, I know
what I'm doing? Well, by then I was training myself. I was really in charge of my own training. I was kind of an anomaly. I mean, I definitely trained with senior masters in martial art from the martial art context, but when it came to sport, that was not something that the traditional martial artists were into. So as a sport athlete, I trained at my own pace. And really what happened then is, and this is what people have to understand, is there's a lot of workout programs that basically replicate what we do for sports. I mean, I didn't do 1,000 kicks a night because I needed to do that many kicks to make my muscle strong enough to perform it. No, I had to do that many kicks because it's a very unnatural movement. And you have to get to the point where every single nerve in your body knows exactly what to tell its own little muscle group what to do and exactly when to do it. And that's just through, again, repetitive training to train those nerve connections. And that's what some people say, oh, well, since I have to do so much of that 1,000 kicks, boy, oh, boy, I'm going to be out of breath. So I've got to maintain some artificial high level of cardiovascular capability. So I'm going to suddenly do all this extra running so I can maintain enough breath so I can do 1,000 kicks in a night. And the only reason I'm doing that is so I can, again, under high, high strain, heavy, heavy stress, my body just reacts in exactly the correct way with lightning precision and speed. And that's what takes all of the extra training. So when people tell me, oh, what do you practice, you know, running? I mean, do you do running half marathons? And I think my first question is always, why? You know, I mean, as an athlete doing that sort of training back then, it was always a battle against how many I could do before my body literally fell apart. And that's what happened. I mean, people would drop off of the training. You'd hear, oh, this guy's not in competition. He got injured. Or, oh, this person's not at their best. They had to go through an injury. And we all went through injuries. We were all supposedly these elite athletes in our 20s training like crazy, where it's the only thing is our exercise, but we're always injured. We're more injured than 40-year-old couch potatoes, torn muscles, broken ligaments, broken bones, you know, bad backs. I mean, there's so many chronic ailments that was exactly due to overtraining, whereas what I did is I did all that, but I was able to keep my body together from ripping itself apart because my core health program was the 7-minute workout by that stage, where I had said, you know what, I would skip my night training where it was all the kicks in favor of my 7-minute workout, because now I knew that I might as well not even bother going and trying all that extra stuff if my core body was not properly maintained. And so now that I don't compete anymore, I only do the 7-minute workout only. And I mean, it's my body's healthier. I'm stronger. I maintain more muscle mass and less body fat than when I was an active competitor. And I mean, my wife, she'll be the one that'll testify to that, because it's true. I mean, she was just saying it the other day. She was at 40 years old. You are better built and more lean than you were when you were 32 and won the world championship in Taekwondo.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you find that you couldn't actually commit to the 7-minute program as being a co-founder with it until you'd actually wound up your Taekwondo school? Because you used to teach, didn't you? And I'm just thinking that whilst you've got to teach the core body skills with the 7-minute workout program, if you've got to do all the kicks, it's kind of like counterproductive. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of like a conflict of interest or something like that, because there's two different programs in a sense. I mean, the thing is that Taekwondo is a totally different thing. And most sports are totally different things. It's a learned skill. I mean, you have to do repetitious exercises or repetitious movements to learn the skill. And the thing is that I wouldn't advise any adult to start up a program like Taekwondo or volleyball or any sort of activity without first starting the 7-minute workout type program to condition your body. Because for me, I can walk into any program right now. If I say, you know what, I'm in shape now. And this is where I make that differentiation, where I'd say a martial art program is a lifestyle, like going for bike races. It's lifestyle. If you want to suddenly become a triathlete, that's lifestyle. Whereas your core health and your core basis of living should be the 7-minute workout. So I would tell people with 7-minute workout as your core way of living that now if you want to go out as part of your lifestyle for excitement or something to do, take up a martial art program, go ahead. And if it was in my school, sure. I mean, I couldn't do it anymore just because of the time requirement. When I was teaching, I mean, I'm all in as an instructor. I mean, if you need to talk to me about a technique, no problem. If you need to talk to me about your divorce, no problem. I'm there for you. I was there for all my students, you know. And then to try to do the same sort of thing for the 7-minute workout community, it would have been impossible. So I had to step out for that reason. But in terms of the programs themselves, no, I would say that once you keep your body healthy, once all your muscles are healthy, everything's balanced, there's no muscle imbalances for certain overdevelopments and underdevelopments, and that's going to be a result of you following a total body strengthening program like 7-minute workout for a few months, then, yeah, you can go and try out Taekwondo and say, yeah, I can go through the program, and I'm not going to have to go through the program going, geez, am I going to kill myself doing this? It'll be more like, do I enjoy this as part of my recreation time. But I mean, in terms of a health program, and I told our members even back then, we had guys that were overweight from the day they joined to 10 years later, they were overweight. They never lost a pound. They sweat like maniacs every time they came to train, but they never lost a pound because it wasn't a weight loss exercise. It was just totally different.
Now, it's really interesting that you're talking about health, because in fact, the 7-minute workout is a healthy lifestyle program. And because it is, it's suitable for anybody and everybody, isn't it?
Well, that's it. I mean, I try to tell people, it's like, you know, we have hygiene habits that we just do. I mean, do we enjoy brushing our teeth every day, or do we just do it? Because you know what? It's not short enough. It doesn't take long enough for us to sort of dislike it. It's just something that we all have factored into our daily schedule to maintain ourselves. And that's what 7-minute workout is. And it's just vastly, people are negligent towards themselves and towards their whole body. Like, all of their muscles, all of their skeleton. And if they look at it, they go, yeah, that means you're talking about exercise. I know I have to, you know, I bought a treadmill and I'll go get back on it. And I said, no, don't get on the treadmill. Go lean against the wall, get on an angle, put your hands in a nice position and bend your face towards the wall and slowly push away. And you feel that in your back of your arms. That's a tricep muscle that's now suddenly demanding resources and suddenly forcing your circulation and suddenly going to consume calories and suddenly going to get healthy. And that's what I say. It's like, you know, in such a short amount of time, once you have implemented in your schedule, just like you do with showering and brushing teeth and everything else, that your health will so dramatically improve. I think your health, I mean, I don't want anybody to test it, but I would imagine if you skip brushing your teeth and started 7-minute workout, you'd still probably be further ahead. You'd have health problems because you don't brush your teeth anymore, but you probably would be in better condition because at least the rest of your body would be stronger and you'd have less aches and pains. Mm. But don't test that theory. Maybe don't even say that.
Interestingly, though, although it isn't a weight loss program, many people who have been on the 7-minute workout do actually lose weight, don't they? Because, A, they feel better about themselves, they're more toned and better posture and things, and so they do tend to take a bit more of a healthy attitude towards what they put in their bodies food-wise.
Absolutely. It's like having a new car. I mean, there's that period of time where there's no eating allowed in the car, and then as things get deteriorate and go downhill, you don't even bother getting it washed anymore. And the thing is that if you're sitting there, if the person's standing there going, look, I know I'm in terrible health, I'm out of shape, everything's going bad, and everything's grim. The only thing I enjoy is food, and that's what's getting me further in. You know, the key underlying point the brain realizes is, hey, don't forget, the only thing you enjoy is food. So let's not start with taking that away, too. You know, how are we going to rebuild from that starting point? And we pointed it out on another call the other night, and the members were kind of caught off guard by it. But the reality is, you can use a reduction in food as a reward. You know, you start working out, and you start coming and doing the 7-minute workout. You know, you start doing your 7 minutes, and then take a day off, and 7 minutes, take a day off. And you get through, like, halfway through your second week, and you're going to go, wait a minute, I'm following an exercise program. Like, I never did this before, and now I am. I mean, that's a high. That's an emotional high. It's a mental high. And if you catch when you capture that moment in your mind, it'll probably literally make you smile. And at that point, when you're walking towards the kitchen, it's a lot easier to take maybe not nothing, but it's a lot easier to take a little less of what you're going to take. Maybe that whole tub of ice cream might be just a bowl of ice cream. And you do it as a reward for yourself. You say, you know what? I'm just going to take a little bit this time instead of tons. I'm just going to leave some back in the fridge, leave some there, and take some. I'm still going to have my snack, but it's going to be less because I deserve it, because I'm doing something good for myself, and I want to keep doing something good for myself. And that's what starts the reduction and the change in diet. It happens naturally, and people start volunteering it before we start forcing it on people.
Yes, that's the kind of information that will register with a lot of people. And a lot of the things that you say on your webinars, you've got a lot of empathy. Is that because when you had your own Taekwondo school, as you say, you were there for everybody, so you were like the agony uncle, I suppose? So yeah, does that help?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that it's eye-opening. You know, I mean, it's not that is you kind of think, okay, well, yeah, you hear enough sob stories, you start feeling sorry for people. And it's not that. You start to realize and go, oh, man, there's so much more to people's issues and what causes them. Like, I can't remember the condition, but there was a girl I used to know, and I remember her from, you know, my whole life. And then I met a lady at my Taekwondo school who came up to me and explained what her condition was. And it was the same condition, but it causes, in women, obesity and facial hair growth. And, I mean, it's a double whammy. You know, and you think, geez, here's this poor lady. She's sitting there and she's crying to me in her office about the way people treat her and snicker about her. You know, you think, oh man, you know, you're just a person like me. I'd hate that. I mean, I would absolutely hate that. And why does this person deserve that? Why do they deserve to feel that way? You know, I mean, they don't. I mean, and you go through experiences like that, and then you start to really, and you realize you can connect on that. You haven't been through it, and you realize that, like, people are living some of your deepest fears, being laughed at and ridiculed, and things that even confident people can carry around in the back of their minds as insecurities or fears that, no, people are living with this every day. And then you realize what sort of diamond you have in front of you, because then you think, you know what, you have a perspective that I can never, ever, ever have. And if you can get through this, get through it in your mind, and either do something or assist yourself or find a way of coping and feeling good and getting back on your feet and saying, you know what, I'm going to feel better about myself. And if I could figure out some way to at least point you in that direction and you can get there, man, I mean, look at how many people that person can help, far more than I ever could. I'm not going to say to you, hey, man, I've been there. I could say, hey, I understand, but I know somebody who's been there, and I know they'll talk to you if you want me to put you in contact with them. That's something that, you know, that if you can do it for somebody, you got to do it for people. And like I say, I kind of rambled on there too, but it is something that once you share, when people start to really share their feelings with you and share their experiences with you, it changes you. It educates you.
Mm. Yes, especially obesity and being overweight is a very emotional subject, and it's also a very touchy subject, isn't it? Especially if it involves people who are family members or friends, because you really don't know how to approach it, do you? Did you find that within your family? Because your brother was at one stage considerably overweight. Did you find it difficult to talk to him, or was it something you just didn't go there?
It was almost impossible not to go there. I would never say anything. That's the correct answer, is that yes, it was very difficult to bring up, and I was never able to bring it up. And sometimes you have to kind of consider the situation and wonder and think, you know, it's not that they haven't noticed. You know, I mean, you're not going to kind of just draw attention and go, oh, by the way, did you notice I'm now standing much further from you than I used to because you have a stomach sticking out in front? Like, I mean, you're not going to surprise them, I mean, or inform them. Basically, all you can really do is confront them and put them in a position instantly when I chose to, because I want to talk about it, about him, though. So, I mean, what you have to, my view always in those situations, what I did was sit back and let it be known that, you know, this was going on, that I had this knowledge, that I worked with people. We had some family functions, and I was telling people about 7-minute workout and how this great program is doing things for people. And I left it at that. And then, out of the blue, a few weeks later, I got an email from my sister-in-law saying, we've been following our exercise program, but we cut it off at 7 minutes, like you said to. We're not sure if we're doing this right. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Are you watching like a 45-minute exercise tape and then just starting for 7 minutes and stopping it? Because that's not it. You know, because that's what she started with. And I thought, okay, hey, you know what? They've kind of come to me with, they're open to the idea. So then it was, well, good news. You know, we're testing things out. Can you try this? I mean, here's a program. I think I was starting to send them DVDs and exercises and videos of myself before we even had them uploaded, and let them start trying it. And it was that sort of way that was brought in. It's just letting people kind of know that you're involved with this, that you have some knowledge. And then when they're expecting you to turn around and go, hey, you know what? You should really use this. You just don't do it. They know that. They already heard that you don't need to say it. So I just left it. And that time, it came around and worked well for me.
Mm. Yeah, well, he's done fantastically well, hasn't he? You must be very proud, and he should be very proud as well. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tremendously, I mean, it's you know, a big source of pride. It's incredibly difficult to do. And once he started the process, it just never looked back. At the end of the day, it takes the person to do it. You know, it just takes the person to do it, and he did it. And I think sometimes it takes something that's fair to people, too, though. You present them with something that's like, hey, you know what, this is going to take commitment. But let me be fair to you. This isn't going to take a life flipped upside down commitment. This is going to be a small change, but it's going to be a change that has to remain. Mm-hmm. And once you can get your mind around that and implement it, which they did very early on, hey, it worked. You know, it still works. And that's what we try to get into people's mind. It's not nothing, but it's not huge. It's something, but you can do it. And we'll help you if you're stuck, you know, and the community will help you too.
But the important thing is that you have to do it for yourself. It's like anything. There's always a tipping point, isn't there? And you have to reach the point where something's got to change, but you need to do it for yourself, not just because everybody else says. And when you said they, is that because Mike's wife or partner or something, she supported him presumably, was his buddy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, she followed the program with him, and she did incredibly well herself. She lost over 80 pounds, but she's very, very shy, very humble, doesn't want a lot of attention to herself, and has asked us not to use, you know, she doesn't want to draw attention to herself.
That is the good thing about the 7-minute program, isn't it? Because even if you come in just as a normal member, you can have a buddy, can't you, a partner?
Absolutely.
And because it's an online global thing, it doesn't even have to be somebody under the same roof. You could have somebody halfway across the world, actually, and still be your buddy.
Well, it was a member suggestion, actually. It was a member suggestion from back when we first invited in our Maverick beta testers. Somebody said, hey, you know, you guys talk about how valuable it is to partner up and meet people in the community and have kind of buddies to support each other. Why not allow us to have, like, pick a buddy, an offline buddy, somebody we know? And it was like, you know what? Could we do that? We had a quick meeting. Said, yeah, we could do that. Let's do it. And we put it in there. And I mean, it's very valuable because the primary account holder, every single person gets a buddy account. Everybody gets one. You don't have to option for one. You start with one. And then it's up to you how to use it. So you can transfer it. You can give it to different people who need it or whatever. But I mean, it's up to your discretion on who gets it and how they use it. But yeah, if you're going to go in there, and maybe that's how, you know, you can bridge it into a family member who, you know, that's maybe you're not the only one in your house that needs to exercise. And you go, hey, I just joined this exercise program. It's supposed to get you in shape in 7 minutes, three times a week. And it came with a free account. I can give it to you. You don't have to do it with me. You can do it on your own, set it up. Oh, okay. It's something more like, honey, I spent money, but something else, part of it's for you. You know, it's like, that's a different way of bringing up weight loss. So there's a lot of people who use it for a lot of different ways, and it's been very, very effective.
It's all a different way of looking at things, isn't it? And it's certainly something you don't get in a normal, everyday physical gym, is it? Where you pay a fortune for gym membership that you never use.
No. I mean, it's a tough business. I mean, the gym business is a tough business. You know, I talked to a guy who owned the gym, and he said, you know, he runs a 3-month special for 1,000 people to register, you know, on 3 months. So he makes money, like a big chunk of money up front on the 3-month membership. At the end of that 3 months, only about 10% register for a year, which means that from 1,000, he's got down to 100. And of those 100, only about 30 register a year later. So from 1,000 who walked in the door, they're expecting to have about 3%, so 30 left on the second renewal. So, I mean, you know, they need to capture money from people right away and do a 2-for-1. It would be maybe a 2-for-1 for a day and then join and pay sort of thing. I mean, it's just the way they have to do their business. You know, I mean, there's a value for them. That's great. I mean, we have programs that set what's going to send people to gyms, but in terms of how they operate as a business, I mean, they have to factor in a huge, huge amount of attrition because people quit. You know, they have to always have somebody new coming in.
And that's another thing that gyms don't have, which the 7-minute workout has, is a business opportunity, isn't it? And for those people who take advantage of the business opportunity, there's more likelihood that people will stay, isn't there? So you'll have that retention rate as opposed to attrition.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that we've seen it. I mean, there's people who will suddenly go for, you know, they've admitted to me sometimes they'll go 3 months. They haven't done any workouts for 3 months, but they're doing it as a business. They have an organization that they're working with. So obviously they haven't quit because they're receiving some income. But 3 months later, they kind of go, you know what? I really should focus on becoming a product of this product, because it becomes, that goes back to another thing that people have always kind of accused me of. And they said, look, you know, of course you're in shape. Of course you don't have these problems. It's your business. Your business is fitness, whether it was martial arts or now 7-minute workout. And they've always been right to a point. I mean, I want to stay in shape for my own health too, but it's always been a business. Whereas now people can go, hey, look, no, this is a business for you too. The better you do in terms of the program and the better your results, the easier it is to promote this as a business, because you can prove it works. And I think that's been a huge, huge portion of what gets people involved in the program. So, I mean, you don't have that extra sort of example leader or leadership role when you walk into your local gym. Not that you have to be a big star in 7-minute workout, but you don't have that leadership role when you walk into a gym. Whereas with 7-minute workout, look, you've got an organization, you're working with people you've brought in, and you want to kind of say to people, look, I do follow the program too. I haven't been the best with it. I took a couple of weeks, but now I'm back at it and it's feeling great and I'm back into it sort of thing. And it's just providing people the opportunity to do it, because you look at it in two different ways now. It's a business and it's a lifestyle.
And as a business, it's a very affordable business opportunity, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, that was one of the things that people were saying, like, should we have a big buy-in up front or things like that? And it's like, well, you know, if we can, there's this potential, there's this huge untapped potential in all these growing economies that still their money is not valued, like they don't have as much money available as we have, but they are working and they're starting to have some money available and they're ambitious. And the thing is that if you can present something in those economies to those people and say, look, you said you needed a business or needed an opportunity, here's one for 10 bucks. It opens a lot more doors. And it's not just overseas. I mean, it's locally too. There's people who are suddenly, you know, went from being, you know, pretty comfortable to having very, very little money available and having to rebuild themselves financially. And starting a business is a good option for people, because you tried it the other way, maybe it didn't work. Let's try it when you're in control. You know, where your prospects are more global. You're not tied to the local economy as much. You know, you don't have a job at the factory that can close at any moment. You have, you know, an organization that has members worldwide, you know, in many different economies. And the price is low enough that economic factors won't hit it as hard. So what we're trying to do is it's more like, you know, like the mutual fund approach of MLMs. It's like, you know, have a little bit invested all over the place. So if there's a sudden problem in the economy in Japan, well, it doesn't ruin your whole business because you're not 100% invested in Japan. You're invested worldwide, which is another just massive benefit of doing business online.
Well, this is it. But also worldwide, you've got a target audience, haven't you? Because everybody wants to be healthy and needs to be healthy, and everybody wants to be financially secure. And especially in this age of recession, and particularly with like the baby boomer people who've perhaps been retired earlier than they had anticipated and a bit worried about how they're going to fare in the future with their incomes, the 7-minute workout is a very affordable and attractive proposition.
Well, exactly. Because the thing is, you're not talking about outlaying thousands of dollars. You can go in very, very cautiously. I mean, when you look at how we let people in, and I mean, it's a very, very, you know, it's a sign of the economic times, but it's also a sign of our confidence in our product. We let people try it for $1 for 10 days, for $1. And then it's $9.97. And on the $9.97, we still give a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you could be in this thing for 40 days and then say, no, I'm out. So you can really start off gently, start off slowly, and start off securely. Even the $10 is secured because you have this 30 days grace period to go in and really try to cut your teeth and see what's going to be involved with this out of the business. And what most people realize is that, hey, you know what? This is not promoting something outside of my comfort zone. This is promoting something inside my comfort zone. You know, in the past, there's been very successful people in home-based business that, you know, let's say it'll be a former football player, but he's selling cosmetics and he's done well. But it's outside that comfort zone. So it was a hard sell to convince that former football player to jump in and do this. Whereas everybody feels confident selling fitness and health. You know, this is selling a lifestyle. This is selling improvement. This is selling, you know, something that where people have been turned away from fitness, which is true. You know, a lot of people can kind of feel that at least. Fitness is forbidding from a lot of people, that this is something for everybody. And it's something that people can kind of be proud of as well. So there's a lot of those typical objections that are associated with promoting a product that are removed here, because it's truly a product that you can, when you ask yourself, look, do I believe in this? Not just do I believe in the effectiveness, not just do I believe in the results, do I believe in this as a concept? Do I believe in this as when people put their money into it because I told them to, that they're going to get value? And overwhelmingly, the answer when people make those questions themselves is yes, because it is yes to all those questions. So it's a fairly easy sell for people once they have a look.
Mm-hmm. So you've had a lot of marketing experience over the years. What have you been involved with prior to this?
In terms of multi-level marketing opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when I was younger, I did New Skin when I was in my teens. I went over and then started doing IDN, which I think was a New Skin spinoff, a nutrition brand. I did, I don't even remember the name of the company, but there was like ripless pantyhose. It was pantyhose that didn't rip. It was that. And then, there was one or two others, I think, that I sat down and worked out as a business. And you know what? I was doing well, but I mean, at those stages, I mean, we were offline. I was young. I didn't have a car, so I was busing to meetings. We didn't have cell phones, so it was rushing to pay phones and stuff like that. And it was skirting in between classes and between training and things like that, you know? So, I mean, I actually made a business. I actually got some checks. Oh, another one was Creations, which was motivational tapes and things like that. You know, I made a business and made I got some checks and things like that. But at one point, I started to prioritize where my time was going to go. And I said, you know what? I got to focus, number one, on these goals, finish my education, you know, focus on my, you know, establish myself as a taekwondo competitor. So my martial art business was going to be credible when I opened it. And then, I never lost my passion for MLM because I knew I'd be back to it just because the model, it makes so much sense. So, I mean, I did some of the kind of traditional things at that stage for a while. But, I mean, when I had the chance, I came right back to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, you picked up some of the things along the way because certainly from the motivational one anyway, because you're very motivating when it comes to listening to your webinars. And I'm sure a lot of the members really appreciate them very much.
Well, I enjoy doing them a lot. I mean, I followed that MLM that was motivational tapes, and I there was about 8 different tapes, and what happened with them is they stopped sending tapes. So that was probably my most formal training from a true motivating speaker. You know, I've never really done any of Anthony Robbins' courses. I've never done the Florence, I've never, Florence Nightingale, oh gee, Earl Nightingale. I've never done any of those courses. I've never read any of their books. I've been exposed to bits and clips here and there. But my father is a true motivator, and he is a student of all of those people. And it was just sort of kind of the way that we were and the way that we thought in our house a lot of times about things. And it was kind of in my environment and around me. And I mean, talk to people now and they'll go, oh yeah, and they'll tap me on the shoulder, like, oh, you must be a student of so-and-so, or yeah, you must have read so-and-so's book. And I was like, I don't think so. Yeah, I never contradict anybody because I don't want to, I guess if somebody said it before, and I'm going to say, no, that was mine. Whereas in my thought that, you know, it was mine, but I probably absorbed the information from someone at some point. But I mean, really, aside from my father, like a lot of the motivation, a lot of the education I have is just from true, traditional martial art masters. And I mean, these are the guys that still will go and meditate for a week and, you know, these sorts of things. And I mean, very, very traditional masters that will find that if you get to a certain stage where you've proven yourself in certain ways, that they'll actually sit and just spend hours talking to you. And it's kind of out of the blue where they'll suddenly say, oh, come here. You sit down and you realize 8 hours have passed and now you're free to go, sort of thing. And I mean, you just get so much knowledge and so much experience and so much wisdom from those sorts of encounters. That's, I would say, probably been a lot of the most enriching relationships in my life. And now being able to work with people and feed off of people and just be motivated by their enjoyment of some of the knowledge that I've been able to pick up and that I can share now. I mean, it's great because, you know, what people always do is they always send me their thoughts back. And then, you know, if I teach, you know, let's say my teaching scales on a score of 1 to 10 is a 1, I walk out of that encounter with a 5 in terms of what I get back because I get feedback, which just educates me far more than I ever could have educated any one person in that room. So it's great. I love it.
So which hat do you prefer to wear the most in the 7-minute workout then? Because you have been doing the marketing 101 and then you've been doing the motivational teaching and then you do the exercises. So which do you prefer?
Oh, I like the motivation and the exercises the most. That's my real passion. You know, I mean, helping people with business, to me is a huge part, but what I genuinely feel is that there are better people that I can find to put with our members to work on marketing. And that's what we've done. And that's just being sincere. You know, like, I mean, on the other side though, I really feel like I have some advantages coming to help people out in terms of the way I've seen a lot of fitness trainers, they're kind of detached. They, you know, they don't come from the same background I do. If you came from fitness as your sport, you're dealing with a lot of fitness people. I mean, we have very, very different people walking into martial arts schools. You know, I don't know how many, you know, people walk into the fitness, you know, the gym down the street who, you know, have been recommended to us from, you know, let's say from a woman's shelter. We have a lot of those clients. I mean, we have doctors sending kids with ADHD to us. We have parents coming to me saying, look, you've been working with kids with ADHD for 15 years. And now that means you've known parents for 15 years with kids with ADHD. Can you talk to me and give me some of their experiences? So I mean, just like the cross-referencing of the different situations you can come into with that amount of time in martial arts. And again, having an open door policy, not just the open door, but to encourage people who need the program more than just a sport and more than just winning trophies and medals. You know, I got more out of working with a kid that nobody else wanted to. Like, I mean, I had a kid that was with me for 7 years that I had to sit right beside every single day in my after-school program because he jumped and attacked the other kids. I mean, it was just a reflex. I mean, it wasn't even, it was just he didn't know quite his boundaries in terms of physical contact at that stage of his life. He got it later on. I mean, the kid's in his 20s now. Like, kid, I mean, he's an adult. But, I mean, he's got some significant disabilities. Nobody else would take him. And I was like, you know what? I can actually physically stop him if the mother says it's okay. I said, you know, as long as you're good with me grabbing him by whatever I can grab him by, she goes 100%. So I took that kid for years, you know. And I mean, the other parents were good with it because they trusted me. They're like, yeah, we think you'll stop him. And I mean, he would try every single day, you know, like every single day, jump out of his chair. I have to grab him by the back. And I mean, the pride I get from that and dealing with that for 8 years, the pride I get from that is way more pride. And I think karma in the good book at the end of the world, when we all check out, I think I'll get more points for doing that than I will ever for training two world champions. You know, I think I got more out of that relationship than I ever got out of training any competitor, no matter how successful they were.
It must have been very hard for you to give that up then.
Yes and no. I mean, the thing is that it had changed. My role had changed. I've been forced to start to cut back now. Some of those cases where I was working with kids that people wouldn't work with, I mean, those kids had grown up and started to move on, and we were at a situation where those classes, I wasn't even teaching those classes that those guys, the new versions of that would have come into. So it was, the program was becoming less attractive to those types of people. And then I realized, you know what, this is going to very, very quickly turn into a business of my own that I'm just going to own, never show up to, but use it as a revenue stream like all good business people would. But I never looked at my own martial arts school that way. And I never wanted to. So that's when I made the decision saying, you know what? I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep working with people. Because it's never the same people you work with. No matter what venue it is, whether it's martial arts or through 7-minute workout, I'm going to keep working with people. I'm going to keep trying to do what I can for them. And trying to learn what I can from them. And I can do that just in a different venue now with 7-minute workout. So the martial arts school, and I said, okay, to be true to what I wanted, I had to sell it and let that kind of go. And that stage of my life is in the past, but the skills and the things I love the most about it are still things that I can do and practice and use every single day now. So I don't miss it as much as some may think I should.
Well, that's fantastic. But I'm sure you're getting a lot of pleasure from the stories you read in the members area.
Oh yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's humbling. I mean, you realize, look, you know, it's not one person. We present the program. You know, it's a little different. You know, we present the program. We create the platform. Somebody else brought them in. You know, somebody in that program, people who are members who read that post, comment, and make the person feel good. And I mean, there's so much positive karma going around that I don't feel the need to always jump in there going, okay, you have my approval too, you know? like suddenly it legitimizes everything, because no, it's not needed. And it just, you know, when you kind of say, oh, look at this, it's so, there's something that's so good that's going on. And just to kind of be associated with that, you know, work so close to that, yeah, I mean, you can't help but love what you do. You know, you just can't help it. And that way, when you do get a chance to directly interact with members, it's, yeah, you go in charged up. You go in like really, really trying to do your best. And a lot of times, unfortunately, when I do those calls, it's right off the cuff, because, you know, there's a lot going on that we still do in terms of running the company. But I think sometimes that's when it comes out the most genuine anyway. So,
oh, I don't think people mind when it's off the cuff. I think it's when it's rehearsed and people don't like that. I think it's...
That's good.
You just keep it
that's
real.
That's good feedback, because sometimes we do wonder about... I wonder about that. You kind of think, you know, I mean, if I'm stumbling in my words or get lost or kind of go off on tangents, and people think, oh, geez, he could have prepared for a few minutes, you know? I mean, obviously, I prepare for a few minutes no matter what. But, I mean, sometimes I feel like people think that I should maybe... instead of spending 45 minutes just going with it, spend maybe 4 hours preparing better, you know? But I like that feedback. I kind of got that sense myself, but that's good feedback. So I appreciate that.
I think people like it to be real, not too...
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. I mean, I would I kind of hoped that and felt that, but to hear it from you, that's very reassuring. So.
Mm-hmm. And what is really nice about the 7-minute workout is that all the members are very positive, aren't they? And because they come from such a variety of different places and different backgrounds and things, they've always got something different that they can offer the other members. Do you find that their source of knowledge is invaluable, really?
It's absolutely invaluable. And that's why I'm saying, it's like, you know, I see those good stories. I mean, it's humbling in that, you know, you don't take all the credit, because you can't possibly, and you know, realize you can't take the credit, because you realize there's so many things at play and there's so many good people who are putting good vibes out there and good comments and positive attitudes into the community. And then it just spills. And it's a beautiful example of that thought or that school of thinking that, look, if you just, everybody tries to be nice, and we kind of not have to put that as a rule, but just kind of say, look, everybody tries to be nice, and you don't have to tell people. They just do. People just try to be nice, and then they think and realize, like, look, here's somebody who's probably putting something out there. If it's a little bit, they're a little down on themselves, they'll put out there and say, I'm a little down, and people are going to say, well, here's a chance for me to feel good, because we feel good when we help people, and you get a huge joy out of that. So everybody's suddenly in a position where there's opportunities for that just by being in the community. More often, though, you see people who are sharing something that's great that's happened, and you see somebody who's feeling so proud of themselves, and because you can directly relate, because you're familiar with the program or what they've just achieved, you can say, instead of, oh, yeah, show off or bragger or whatever, again, it comes back as very, very positive, you know? It's really reassuring to see how people interact, not just from, you know, on how people treat each other, but it's reassuring to think, you know, like, there's a lot of doom and gloom for human nature nowadays and what people think of how we are supposed to interact or how we supposedly do interact. We have one example where, hey, you allow people to treat each other with respect. People treat each other with respect. And it's great.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So am I right in thinking that you're actually creating a DVD, a physical DVD with the exercises on, so that people don't actually have to log into the site to see what they're supposed to do?
That's correct. I've always felt that the best tool will be the online site because of the support of the members, and that's the biggest thing. And then, of course, the ability to update and change things kind of and progress things. However, there are a lot of people who haven't used the program because they're still afraid of buying anything online. They're still afraid of spending money on a subscription online. They don't feel that they can follow a workout program on the internet, or they don't have speed connections or the sort of software needed or hardware needed to kind of pull it off. So there's been some expression that we're kind of missing out, and that there are people who are missing out on the program who could benefit from it. So we said, you know what? I mean, we've got the time, we've got the videos now, we know what people are doing, we know what works. And since we have them and we have staff, again, it's not a huge stretch to assemble them and repackage them and put them onto the DVD. There's some gaps and there's some extra footage that's going to be needed to be filmed, but we're in the process. I'm actually going down to Texas the beginning of next week to do exactly that. So yeah, we will be having a hard DVD product as well.
Well, that's good, because I must admit, I don't like actually logging onto the computer to watch the exercises. So I've printed them out and sort of written them out so that I know what I'm supposed to do. But obviously, without watching you, I perhaps don't get the form correct. So I'm really glad you're doing that.
People did eventually learn how to do the exercises in front of TVs when that format came out, kind of the workout video came out. And people are getting there with computers, but yeah, you're right. I mean, there's people who don't like to log in, but there are people who are, you know, they have their whole computer set up to their TV and they just press a couple buttons and boom, they're doing their workouts. So I think again, we have to kind of say, look, people know how to do the video routine. They know how to do that. They're comfortable with doing that. And although we have converted some, we don't need to force. We're not trying to prove a point in business by forcing everybody saying, no, our way is better. I don't care what you like or what you think you say. You're the consumer and you're wrong. You know, that's not our approach. We have to be realistic with what we're hearing from people. And yeah, there are demands for DVD for exactly some of the reasons that you just stated.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing because of your background, you weren't at all embarrassed about being filmed. It came naturally, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the fact I don't like listening to myself. I listen to very, very few of my recorded calls or I watch my exercise videos because I had to. But I don't like it. I'm not uncomfortable doing it, but I am uncomfortable watching it after. So I asked somebody else, was it okay? Yeah. Then it's good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need final approval. As long as there's an independent viewer who goes, yeah, it's fine, then I'm good with that, you know, because I'll end up reshooting a whole scene because I'll go, oh, gee, look at the way that shirt matches those pants. That's terrible. Like, you know, in the program, there's that gray outfit that I'm wearing. I think I got gray pants and a gray shirt. And I can't even stomach those videos. So, you know, I don't watch them. People don't seem to mind it. They get the point of the exercise and I don't need to be so vain. So I left it.
you can't be any less vain than Joel with the hole in his... under the arm of his t-shirt.
I mean, that's what I thought. Somebody should have taken a look at us, you know. But anyway, we didn't want to make it about us. It's like, just, you know, here's a video for you to sit back and watch a couple guys exercising. It's just information. But yeah, the hole in the shirt and some of our outfits could have left a little to be desired.
So I should imagine your children are very proud of you, are they?
I think so. I mean, they seem to be. I mean, they're quite young. My daughter's 5 and my son's 4. You know, and they kind of get an idea of what I'm doing and things like that. But I mean, it's hard for them to kind of put it all together when I say, you know, look, you know, you can't talk to me right now. I'm closing my door because I'm talking to people on the computer, and there's 100 people or 200 people or 300 people or whatever it is. And you know, and they kind of look at me like, all right, you know, and off they go. But yeah, I mean, what I just hope to influence them well, you know, instead of kind of going, wow, you know, dad's, you know, something to be proud of. It's like more like, you know, let them kind of see that I'm enjoying what I'm doing, that people appreciate the efforts I make, and that if they kind of enjoy what they're doing and make some efforts towards whatever it is, they're going to get some enjoyment out of it too. And that's really what I hope to do more than to impress them, because then you can kind of say like, you know, I don't want to ever put pressure on them or make them feel like they have to be something that they're not. I'm not much of an introvert, but if either of them happen to be, fine, you know, do something different. You know, like, you don't have to be jumping in front of people talking for hours and hours. You can just be yourself, and whatever you're doing, as long as it's something you enjoy doing, you feel good about doing, and that it's helpful for society at large, then that's great, you know? So, yeah.
But that's another side of the leaders of the 7-minute workout, is that you're all family orientated, aren't you? And that's really important, because the whole basis of the 7-minute workout is for health. And it's not just health for you, it's for your families, isn't it? Because you don't want your children to be looking after their ill parents or have them die early because they're not looking after themselves. So the whole message you're creating in one big package, I think, is really admirable.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's every parent is tough. It's a tough spot to be in. I mean, it's very tough to be able to maintain moral high ground on the important things in life. And you know, if you have to sit there and go, look, I need you to, you're not having that sweet after dinner. We're not having that. And they say, okay, or, you know, they won't say okay. Obviously they'll cry and yell and kick and fuss and everything like that. But if they turn around and then they see me with maybe not the same sweet, but let's say my version of it, which happens to be, I don't know, a 6-pack and popcorn or something like that, you know, it loses that little bit of moral high ground, you know, because you kind of say, well, look, you're not doing it, Dad. You know, you're doing your thing and you're preaching it on us. And you're only saying, well, I wish somebody had told me the same thing I'm telling you. But again, it just doesn't have that same effect, you know. But if you can say, look, you know, we're having a treat today. We're going to have some ice cream, but it's a treat. Okay, good. Then that's what that type of food is. It's a very occasional treat. But in terms of when they're just absorbing going on around you, they're going to see exercise. And then when you kind of mention, look, you should try to take care of yourself and respect your body. You know, and that was a big message I used to tell my kids when I used to teach classes, is that you respect your body. Show respect for your body, what you do to it, what you put into it, and where you go with it, you know. And it's a lot easier to say that if you're kind of showing that at least you're trying to do the same thing yourself. And I think that's a big part. It's like I say, it's very, very difficult to hold moral high ground, but on things important like health, it's a far, far, far more valuable tool for your kids to watch you and notice you, even if you're panting and look silly in a funny outfit doing exercises, than it is for you to sit on your chair telling your kids, go out and play and run around and burn off some steam, you know? And they need to see you doing it.
Well, I don't think you look funny doing your exercises in funny outfits, but there
you're one of them.
Yeah, but I've been watching I've been watching you a long time, so I know what to expect. But for anybody else who doesn't know about the 7-minute workout and wants to find out more about Chris and the health and fitness program with the potential to change lives in more ways than one, I highly recommend you check out the 7-minute workout. What do you say, Chris? Yes?
Absolutely. Thanks for saying that, Jean. And I welcome everybody who does.
Okay. I'll say goodbye and thank you very much.
All right, Jean. Thank you very much as well. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.